Go ahead.
I'd like to call the March 2nd, 2016 meeting of the South Kingston Historic District Commission to order. Peter Noons is present. Rich Youngkin, not here yet. Carolyn Griswold.
Present.
Jim Garfield.
Present.
Karen DeSilva is not coming, I guess. We've all read the meeting minutes from 2 weeks ago, and they look great, I think. Very good. Mm-hmm. Are there any discussion about the minutes? You have a motion to approve them?
Move to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, second.
Yes, second.
Like second,
I'll second in favor.
Okay. And then, let's see. So Matt Harrington is here to discuss some proposed changes to his accessory buildings on the property.
Yeah.
And we have some good pictures to look at. Now, Carolyn, you've not been up to see them.
No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I just looked at the pictures that.
Yeah. Matt, can you just tell us your name and address? And
yeah, Matt Harrington, 2557 Kingstown Road in Kingston.
Can you give us a quick overview of what?
Yeah, this is a an ancillary building that is in need of something, and the point of my being here is to kind of get some advice as to what. When you look at the front side of it, it's not bad. It's unfortunately it's been sitting on basically on the dirt, I guess, and last winter wasn't particularly helpful to that. If you look at some of the interior photos, you see that it's always been just put together with pieces of metal and drywall and all kinds of things over the years. So, you know, my first reaction was, well, is there some way we can sort of rebuild it from the inside out? And then standing in it today, I was wondering, is that even feasible? So that's kind of my question here. And, you know, my other thought was, well, is there a way maybe we could pull it down but save the exterior planking, or it's not clapboard, whatever it is, the exterior boards, and re-erect them as part of something new? You know, when I look at the insides of it, it's just, you know, I think it was a workshop, and I have an old drawing of it which shows that it had some sort of pot-bellied stove in it. And I'm told that it's been used for various kinds of things over the years. I think a gentleman back in the 30s or 40s used it as someone was told me, a metal working shop, but I don't really know what they meant by that. And so it's always just been a very much a workshop. So I think over the years, no one's really put preservation in it. It's just what keeps it up and what keeps the holes in the floors from reaching the ground.
And as you said, it is pretty cobbled together with used materials. And the serious problem, Carolyn, is the way the two roofs come together
in
the middle.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Just accumulate
yeah.
leaves and water, and it's just, without a big cricket in it, it's just an impossible thing to maintain. So that the whole structure below that valley is just in terrible condition, and as Matt said, there are no sills to speak of anymore.
And how old is the building?
I don't know. I took that picture today.
Okay, so where then is the double?
That's the.
Oh, it's
this,
on the other side.
The side. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Right,
you can see it in your. There's a picture of it in your packet.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just wondering if.
If you rebuilt it, Matt, what would you use it for? Do you have a purpose?
Well, basic. You know, it's basic storage. Yeah. You know, my wife and I, the shape is interesting.
It is.
And
it's an extremely appealing building. It's just
it has a real vernacular.
It fits.
Utility building. Yeah, and I remember when we were doing work at the Indalias back in the 80s, looking at that building and thinking, wow.
Yeah.
It's an unusual building.
It's weird. I will say this, strangely enough, someone stole the side windows this winter.
Hmm.
And the front doors.
Oh. Stole?
Stole. You know what?
Bizarre.
Exactly. You know why? Because I hadn't noticed it. Because I thought the doors were open.
Doors,
and I went back, and They were unscrewed. Hmm. So somebody went with a screwdriver. They weren't ripped out or anything. They were it's
carefully
perfectly taken right outside of the.
They were board and batten doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they were rotted, but I thought somebody.
Did they take these windows?
No.
Those are still there.
Yeah, what you see is there, and it's. Those two front doors, it was sort of a front, like a double front door, but not like, sort of one of them was a little narrower. Obviously, one was a door, and I guess he opened it to move a piece of machinery or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went out. So, yeah, I mean, if it were, see, you see the side sag is the real, when you see it in the front, you say, oh, this is not so bad. When you see it on the side and you see it sag just right down into the center.
Peter and I, looked at it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember you guys were in it one day.
We came down and took a look, and it really is
it's a wreck.
Too far gone to save, I would say. But your idea of saving some of the elements, I think, is a good one. You know, some of it you could maybe reuse some of the vertical siding. And I think that's what I would recommend doing is basically replicating the... take some measurements of what's there. You could reuse these windows. And if you did the same board, vertical board sheathing that overlaps.
That's what's calling it, sheathing, yeah. Actually, I kept my mind, I'm not quite sure what you call that. But
Board and batten.
Sorry. Is that it?
Vertical board and batten, yeah.
I just kept calling it the clabber, but I said, I know it's not clabber.
It's vertical boarding.
In fact, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say, if you could replicate it and somehow make that valley work, which I had an idea of, you know, if you put where the plate between those two buildings went, which is what the rafters sit on, if you put a slight pitch on that plate, you might be able to get enough that... I mean, it's not ideal. You still get leaves collecting there that have to be cleaned out every fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering if you sort of just slightly lowered the back end so that it, you know, when you look at the front, but, you know, you had a pitch through the center running.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. If you pitched it and you'd have to...
You still have to keep the leaves clean, right.
A pair of rafters would have to get... progressively longer as they went down that pitch, but
wouldn't a cricket be better? A cricket.
You had gave me a suggestion before of somebody
you'd see
little
I mean,
or somebody.
You'd have to do something high enough that you would see the cricket. I think.
What's a cricket?
Crickets. For instance, if you have a chimney and a roof pitch behind it,
mm-hmm.
a cricket is a couple of pieces
it's
of plywood.
A little roof.
A little roof.
Comes out this way.
So the water hits it and goes off to the side.
Okay.
In this case, a cricket. I don't know if it is a cricket, but it would be raised in the middle, so there'd be little platforms that went down to a point at each end so that all the water would disperse. And
might be able to do something. Yeah.
And the leaves, a lot of the leaves would blow out if you did that. But it's just it's an odd design period. You know, it's not a...
I remember the first...
climate, not a great idea.
I think it was you. I actually quoted this recently, since that... Because so one of the two of you who said, this is all the wrong things you're supposed to do in building a building.
Mm.
But it turns out, it looks interesting. Yeah. My other thought was, can you put in the center of it, could you put, since there's a wall that runs down that center beam, can you put a drain in the middle that would run?
Yeah, it'll clog up, and that'll be the end of that.
Yeah.
You don't pay attention to it for a year, you know.
And where does the north south? So where is the is this heading north south or east west?
You have the plan here. You see the building there.
Yeah,
that's it there. So
okay, so this is north.
Yeah. So and the back of it is there. So this picture here that you have. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the south.
This is the south.
So when you come in the driveway, that's what you're, so when you come up here, that's the side you're looking at there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe your idea of a cricket that would shed water both ways would be a better way to approach it.
Because
it would cut the distance.
Traditional way to do it, too. You know, easy. So you could just use EPDM roofing on it, and then shingle to it. Some flashing.
Yeah.
But
because when you look at the, I guess when we were looking at the front side of it, the front side, that sheathing there is all in very good shape. It needs painting and scraping, but only where the little electric line is, there's a little bit of rot. That front side has been up off the ground, so that's that whole side is good. It's the, what I guess would be the east side, that's got a lot of rot.
Is this the east side?
Yeah, that side there. That actually has a lot. Then the back side, but we figured the back side, you know, you could slice off a couple of inches of the back side and use something to camouflage that back. But I guess my thought was, you know, hiring a, unless somebody, you know, so I mean, hire an architect or somebody who can draw this thing and figure out what to do with it. I mean,
it needs a foundation of some sort, too, a slab-on-grade foundation or something.
That's
which means jacking this, most of the elements up. And
but since it's grandfathered, being there, the structure's there, so you could rebuild it, you know, with the same footprint.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be easy to rebuild in a way because it's all open framing. There's no sheetrock.
I would say that's the key from a zoning perspective. Is it this building that's like right on the property line?
No, this one is the one right on the property line is the garage. But that looks to me like 20s or 30s, that building. That's in fine shape.
Is it the one that's at the very back of it? Is it this building?
Yes, it's that one.
This one? Okay, yeah. You still might have a rear seat. Rear yard setback issue. I'd have to look into it.
So.
But if it's an existing building,
if you're within the existing footprint, so that's the key. So like, let's say you thought of a new concept, but you were, you know, changing the footprint, expanding it bigger, maybe even moving closer to the back. Those are things that might trigger you. Not to say that it's not doable, but there's a zoning relief process you'd have to go through. If you're within the existing footprint, none of that is an issue.
So where's the log cabin that I'm thinking
of? In front of it.
Oh, so it isn't? All right, I was confused. Yeah, I see. All right.
It's 24 by 24.
Yeah.
And
is that enough storage for you?
Then I'd say
if you're within the footprint or reducing the footprint or moving the building farther away from the rear yard, none of those are issues that would trigger a zoning board of review variance request.
Yeah.
But any amount of moving it closer to the rear, and I'd have to look into it. I mean,
I don't think we would. You know, I wouldn't move. In other words, if anything, my instinct is leave it as exactly as it is. I wouldn't move it in any direction because I would say it's 15 feet from the back wall. I wouldn't want to go any closer to the back wall because there's stuff back there. There's somebody else's yard. He mows his yard pretty good to that. So,
what a guy.
Hey, Rich.
Sorry.
Rich Youngkin?
Hi. How are you? Good to see you.
So I did ask downstairs about, slab. And I forget the number. I thought he told me if it was less than 400 square feet, I didn't need a slab. I was wondering if, maybe just putting a slab down made sense anyway.
A 4-inch thick slab of concrete. For
No, I know that. I'm just saying why, if it's less than 400, you wouldn't. I mean, I think it'd be nice to have a slab. It'd be keep the building dry.
Yeah.
Well, just from a building code perspective, they said that that's the issue.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I'm actually, my instinct was, bring the sills, I think, are rotted in some parts. I actually wondered, if the whole thing has to get up, you lay a slab down and sort of put it back down. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, new sills, yeah.
Yeah, right, new sills.
With sister, you'd have to sister all the joists.
Everything
all
would
the
be
joists.
All redone.
Yeah. We were talking about the structure earlier before you got here, Rich, and it's. Have you seen it? Have you been to visit?
Yeah, I've been in it. Yeah.
All cobbled together, tiny little dimensional lumber that's probably reused. And,
right.
So it would be a. And Matt seems amenable to thinking about rebuilding it in place with some with improvements. Obviously, we're talking about a cricket in the Big Valley.
Yeah,
pitched to both ends.
Right,
with EPDM probably on it and shingle down to it. And
right,
that would be the answer to that, because that's a very poor design around here with trees and and rain.
Yeah,
but a cricket that went maybe elevated 20 inches in the center of that long stretch.
Right, and it came down this way like a bridge.
Yeah, and a lot of the leaves would just blow out. They wouldn't get jammed in there like they do now.
Matt, I can tell you that I'm working on a project down in Restoration, and it's an old barn. It's like five times the size of your house. But we had to save it. So it's been completely reframed inside, and it's really quite wonderful. It's almost like, if you can imagine, the new frame is holding up the old building and keeping it all together. Almost like the old building is irrelevant in terms of its structural integrity. The new frame is the new structure inside.
Yeah, that's in fact what I was originally, you know, originally a year or two ago I was standing in there with someone and thought, you know what, could we just rip out this floor and, leaving the frame, start to rebuild it from the inside without touching the outside.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did.
The whole roof would have to come off because it's just, that's just thoroughly rotted. But with a new roof from the sides and...
But you could stabilize it fairly easy. Just lift it slightly and do everything that you need to do around the perimeter.
Yeah,
basically rebuild it, like Rich is saying, inside.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We raised this thing up 5 feet in the air and then put the new slab foundation underneath it and then dropped it back down. It was really wonderful.
Yeah.
Came right down on new sills, a whole new perimeter. Just bring it right down on there.
Is this the Avondale barn?
No, it's the Lanthier livery stable. You're welcome to come see it if you want to see it.
Yeah.
It's right on Bay Street in Watch Hill.
Yeah, it looks great.
And
acres of red cedar shingles on it.
Yeah, it's covered up now with red shingles. But you can see the interior framing. Mm. It's pretty amazing. Mm. I was impressed with the fact that they were able to save all of that exterior fabric. What they did was they just took off the rotted boards and put on new boards once they got the frame in place. They had something to nail to.
Yeah.
But then they shingled over it.
Yeah, then they had to sheath it up because of shear wall. They had to put shear walls on it and sheath it. And then they've reapplied the historical, well, sort of replica siding.
Yeah.
But the old siding is still inside it.
Huh.
They just kept all that in. And they just covered it with the plywood shear walls that they had to put on. And then they recovered it with the historical siding that would match the original. So what you see on the inside is really interesting. All those old boards, the back side part, can be seen from the inside. So you're kind of, when you go inside it, you look at some of the exposed framing, and it looks like the old building. Plus they did the framing in a nice way. They didn't sort of cob it in. They did it in a very rhythmic and symmetrical way. So it's handsome. The new framing is really handsome.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's my inclination. I'm taking a photo here. So I guess my idea was then I was going to go out, get a plan together, and come on back with some stuff so that because it's... Yeah, I get it, because it's something I'd like to... I don't want to do another winter with this.
Mm-hmm. Might not make another...
It won't make
another... heavy winter.
I tell you what, it really... I was really surprised last year. You don't get a sense of it until the spring, and I looked and thought, boy, this took a beating over there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Last winter was bad.
Nothing ever melted.
It was a mess, so...
Yeah.
Well, it sounds as though we're on the same page with, you know, the direction that you... want to take it.
And it'll be a great outbuilding for storage, especially for a slab under it.
Yeah.
Be great dry storage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You know, it's already electrified, so it's always had electricity. I put a new box in it, but, you know, it'll get rewired better so it won't burn down.
And structurally, it's so simple that it shouldn't be overly, horribly expensive to do either.
No, I wouldn't anticipate it. It's just the initial lift up and slab would be the pegging the slab or the.
There are building movers who'll do that. That'll be very simple for a building mover, but you could probably do it with jacks. But if you wanted a building mover to do it, there, boy, what's his face? We did ours.
Cattell.
Okay. There's a chimney on the structure.
Yeah, actually, that's in pretty good shape. I'd still have a mason come in and kind of look at that. That surprisingly is in pretty decent shape. I was walking around the inside of that, and that's pretty well pointed.
They lift the building right around it. You don't have to move.
Oh, really? It stays in place, and you lift the wood around it.
Just take the flashing off.
I was actually thinking you're going to just take the roof off anyway. It's just going to run up the middle of it because that roof is gone. So it wouldn't really matter that part of it. So basically, I was thinking, you know, if we got rid of the four wall, I mean, got rid of the roof and just basically lifting the four walls up with the whatever joyce can be saved there.
The rafters.
Rafters can be saved.
You'd want to put some... ties across just to hold it in place.
Does a slab on grade foundation have to be down to code to frost line or not? Is it just a reinforced beam that sort of floats?
I don't know the answer to that.
You mean like a grade beam?
Yeah.
See, that was the question I was asking.
You mean can the concrete show on a building like that?
No, I'm talking about when I used to dig foundation footing holes for buildings like this, I'd always dig down 44 inches. The code is 42 inches below surface to prevent frost heaving for the bottom of the footing. And I'm wondering if that's true for you just have a trench full of crushed stone with a grade beam on it, as Jim mentioned.
Yeah, I would think you could do that.
And they're reinforcing rod in them, so they... they're sort of...
They float.
They just sit there.
The other way to do it is put your sonotube footings down and put the grade beam...
To it,
to it.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my...
Yeah, that would be a simpler... So you could only... The overall excavation could maybe only be a foot below grade, and the sonotubes every 4 or 6 feet would support it. And they'd have to... They'd be down to...
Yeah.
And that would be a simple way
of... Everything come down.
And with the walls open, that would not be an overly complex job either, compared to pouring a regular 4-foot frost wall.
So I guess your decision on that now was if you wanted a moving company like Cattell to do it, they could stick it higher up in the air for you. Then you probably could do it yourself with jacks.
Yeah, and they'd do it, and they'd come in and be done in 5 hours.
Yes, my inclination is... I hate to give it up on Jackson, but the whole thing. Because we haven't done it right.
Katawa's really marvelous, and he's able, they can get there. I think your driveway's wide enough they can get their equipment back there.
One problem is they would probably lift from the plate level, and you probably have to do some structural work first because there's nothing to lift on.
Put some beams across.
Yeah.
But they have to place. And then lift. But they have to have plates to get under.
No, they have the walls. The way they did it down there is that they put beams across and lifted it. But the walls were hung. They had to hang the walls from those plates.
But you need solid plates.
You need solid
to lift on.
And there's
no solid plate on the east side. Is the problem? Maybe at each end there is, but in the middle where it's sagged, it's all rotted away.
But they might have to put a plate in there first.
Yeah, I'm trying to actually look for a photo here of what that bottom looks like. I can't see.
It's easy to do. That's really good.
Well, I may regret this conversation. I know I regret this
You always regret coming here because we get you juiced up.
Yeah. I'm thinking of looking at this thing in the eye and saying, I should have just gone for the demo permit. You know that's what's going to be happening.
We have to have an awards thing. We really do.
So
we have to reward people like you.
Yeah. It's not done yet. Relax. I still may be back with the demo permit.
Well, at least you will have done your due diligence, right?
Well, that's the thing. As I look at it, I just say it's got to be simple. Well, simple-ish to do rather than... Even the whole concept. I stood there the other day thinking, let's say you did take it down. What would you put on? I thought, Gil's got a... barn, but it's out of proportion to this. It's way too big for that space there. And somebody on going down Kingstown Road on the right-hand side, she has a pretty narrow barn. Yeah. It would be really tall.
Tucked
and,
in.
Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe that's kind of a solution as well. Mm-hmm. But that's... We'd be sitting here for another year having that conversation when we're measuring windows. And
what happens with that double gable is it actually diminishes the size of it, the feeling of the size of it, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, it's fairly big. It's fairly wide.
It's 24 by 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but without the double gable, if it just had one single gable, it would seem much bigger.
It would look,
Well, it'd have to be twice as tall almost.
Right.
Yeah. It would run high.
Run these up.
And then it would begin to look like a, you know, a sort of basic burger garage.
Or end up with a ranch house roof on it.
Yeah, a ranch house roof. So that's really kind of a cool thing.
It fits actually the, I was standing there when you look at the three buildings that are back there. It's actually the tallest of the three.
Oh.
It's just slightly taller than the garage. No, I'm sorry, the garage is just slightly taller than that, but...
Yeah.
And when you look, you say, okay, that's how high that would be. That would be pretty tall.
Are you looking at keeping the other buildings just as they are, or just a future plan?
There's no other plan for those other buildings. The roofs on both of them were redone last summer, so they're all done. So the cabin was ripped, all that rotted. It had been drywalled, so all that stuff was ripped out. And the floor, I just redid the floors on that. That had some nice fir floors. It was a playhouse.
I have a memory of the pictures you brought in.
Yeah.
It was like a couple of years ago now.
Yeah. And it had like, when we first came in, it had like curtains. And the key that was left for it said playhouse. And Gil had said, Betsy said to me that years ago, it was with the girls that lived in that house. That was their little playhouse.
Gretchen and Sally.
Must have been it.
We're now all in their 50s.
And
they worked for me years ago.
So that got done, and that's...
This is Rhode Island, right? There's a diagram of the cricket. You can look, I mean, if you're not clear on what it is, you can...
Oh, yeah.
That's looking down from the top.
You gave this to me before, and then it kind of...
I have a brilliant sketch artist, as you can tell. It's just... It's horrible.
Maybe you could let me look at it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The first time he explained this to me, I walked away thinking, I have no idea what he's talking about. And then I understood the concept, but I was trying difficulty. But then once I...
So there's a ridge line that goes this way. Yeah. And that's between the two ridges.
Yeah.
Just like a little opposing perpendicular ridge that will push all the moisture out. From between. It can be. You won't even see it, basically. It'll be tucked back in there.
Mm. All of
that. So if you see it in the center of the roof, that thing will kind of come down.
Oh, that's right.
Oh. Both ends like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And
that'll
runs the water out.
The visual, but
it should have had that originally. That's the
law. Horrible. You know. Yeah. I suspect they built one half and built the other half. Do you think
it does look? It does because you know what? When you stand, there's a wall that goes down the center.
Yeah.
When you come in, it's sort of it's one big space and then two smaller spaces, and there's a wall that comes down the center, and in the wall you can see the out. There's a hole. There's a window hole there.
Yeah. So it's just an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Afterthought after afterthought. That was their architect.
Yeah.
Afterthought and afterthought.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm getting.
LLC. Yeah.
So I guess I'm looking at maybe June. I'll be back. Okay. When's your next one?
We don't have regular meetings.
Okay.
So we generally meet when there's a need. If you get in touch with me, that will trigger me to reach out to these guys and schedule. And generally, we're able to schedule within a couple of weeks of you being in touch. And I just ask, get in touch, let me know what you're thinking, your timing, and then I try to make sure at least we have materials at Town Hall at least a week in advance, usually a week and a few days in advance, so that we can get them, make sure we've got everything we need, and then send out packets. So that's pretty much our timing.
Well, I'm going to get a guy then, a couple guys up to talk about how to do this.
Yep.
And then I'll need drawings because we have windows and doors to replace.
So yeah, I'd say any changes you're making to the building, we'd certainly want some sketches, some schematics. If you were keeping all of the windows, all of the walls, everything in exact place, and you were just lifting it up, then I think we don't need you to resketch the building that's already there. But anything that's changing, yeah, we'd really want to get a dimensional understanding of.
Okay, well, I probably, because I, you know what I'm thinking is I think I have photos of the old doors, so the doors are going to be new. We're going to have somebody's going to have to build doors, so we're going to have to probably look at doors.
These doors
are pretty simple to make.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, wow.
And a window or two.
You know, if you get a tongue and groove vertical boards.
Yeah, that's what
you know, I think it was. Bats on the back side. Or,
yeah.
I, in fact, think that what one of them was a door, like one of them was sort of slab, you know, and I think the other one might have been like, or the other part of it was like, a door from the house somewhere that they kind of threw together. One had like one of those white
porcelain
doorknobs, and the other one had like the old-fashioned latch, and that was the door.
Yeah, you can see the shadow of the where the hinges were.
Yeah. And they're cleanly right up.
On the left side.
The other windows are frames were all still there, so that's just glazing.
They weren't early.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think photographs would probably be great, you know.
Okay.
And I don't know if we need to have measured drawings on it.
No, but a sketch with a window,
yeah,
whatever it's called, sketch.
It's like the windows are all different shapes and
yeah,
I mean,
windows
sizes.
Are sizes. They're different.
Yeah.
They're there. The back, the glazing is gone, so that that's just a reglazing project. It's the side window that'll have to be rebuilt, but the match of that is on the other side, so it's easy to see it.
Yeah.
So the match is on the other side, and the other side just has some pieces missing. So it's mainly glazing and rebuilding a door. So I guess I'm going to try to find photos of what that door looked like and see if we can just duplicate that and be done with that. I mean, it's got to be.
We don't have photos. There was an earlier, you brought this in before, or somebody, I'll check my photos.
Yeah.
We may have some photographs of it.
Perhaps. I know, Matt, you know, when you submitted last time, which was essentially you did a pre-app consultation with us, and you kind of laid out a handful of projects, and some of them we gave, you know, like the you know, the certificates, because you were like, these are the ones I know I want. Here's what's coming down the road.
Yeah.
And so we can look at that old file.
Yeah.
But
if you have any of the front of that with the whatever, I can.
Yeah, I
can
take a look. I'll see if we have one of the front of it with the doors. And at least then we would have a picture of it.
Because I came out there, I remember.
Yeah. And I know that it had, as I say, the windows aren't a problem because there's the mate is on the other side of it. So that we know what that looks like. It's the door I cannot for the life of me remember what it really looked like.
But I guess if we can't find any photographs of it either way, then you can
we'll just come up with
a door that works.
That works.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I remember the hardware. The hardware was that kind of flip knob thing, you know, or not, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I think it was a cast iron one from the 20s or 30s, wasn't it?
Yeah, Victorian latch.
Yeah, Victorian latch.
Okay, well, that's
all right. Well,
good.
How did I do?
You did great. No, this is very helpful. It's better to get in front of these from before you get someone out there and get a really firm idea of what you want to do. And, you know, we may have different ideas, but I think it sounds like we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
It's such a neat, simple building, though. Simple soffits. Everything is simple about it, so it's not going to be a horrible, huge project.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Oh, I know. The ladies. Catherine and Anne.
Oh, Lilies.
They have a shed. I think their door is pretty close. If we can.
Is it new?
No, their shed is, just, looks about the same
kidding.
Thing.
I'm just kidding.
Same thing, but it has it's painted gray now. But I just realized their door to go into that, I'm pretty sure was pretty close.
Right? Yeah.
So I may copy theirs if that.
Yeah,
if I can't find it.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good one, man.
So, thanks, Doug. I'll send you what I get.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. This
next item on the agenda is discussion of certified local government grant. Again.
Yep. So I wasn't sure how much feedback we would get from the state. I had a call with them today. I did send them a letter. Actually, the day after the meeting, drafted, or maybe it was 2 days after the meeting. Yeah. I'm not that quick. Drafted a letter. Peter took a look, and he signed, and then we scanned and emailed it over to them. And they said, thank you very much. We're going to take a look and let you know. And then I had a call with them today, and I basically just wanted to make sure they were good with our general direction mm-hmm. for the use of the grant funds and mm-hmm. then doing a independent effort. And they said they were good with that. And they are going to assist with drawing a scope of work for the grant-funded portion of it, which is the nomination update. And when they give me what they've got, I'll ask for a meeting, and then this group, I'd like to have a meeting with this group to confirm the scope of work, kind of confirm a general project timeline. You know, we can set up the sort of next steps in any discussion of, you know, major issues that may come up, major things that we want to make sure are addressed in this update, and then we will go out to bid for consultant services. So we'll have one meeting here to confirm those details before we go out for any consultant services.
Okay. Sounds logical. And do you write up the RFP or does someone else?
I'll write it up. It'll basically take, you know, various elements of standard procedural language in all of our town RFPs, and it'll basically utilize their scope of work to outline that, and then we'll put in some, you know, expectations on timeline. I'm sure there'll be some standard language that the state requires in terms of a, eligible, consultant to do this type of work. And I'll probably lean on, you know, present company that may have experience with RFPs and scopes of work of this nature to also make sure that, you know, we've got everything that we should. And I think we'll end up with a good project. I think that the thing HPHC was, happy about is that, you know, this is going to be a very clear, defined, tangible outcome of the project.
Yeah.
So us taking on the other work of a needs analysis as a side thing, I think they wanted us to move in that direction, but I think it's helpful for everyone on board for that to be, because, I mean, the product that comes out of a needs analysis, you know, who knows, that's really more of a process. It's a discussion. It's building consensus. It's understanding how we want to address this. And then at the end of it, I think we may have a firmer idea of a scope of work for a future CLG grant. Maybe it's a regulatory focus. Maybe it's a corridor focus. Maybe it's still both. But we probably have a firmer scope of work on it. And they were happy that, you know, for the existing grant, they'll have very tangible products that they can measure the outcome of the grant against.
Okay. Correspondence. Matt, Doug emailed me a review that we're supposed to, something we're supposed to look at. We really have no purview over that. It's a cell phone tower down the property of the Baptist Church at the corner of Moonstone Beach Road and Route 1. 100 feet tall.
Oh.
With a flag on it. It's one of the ones like the one down at Mystic.
Oh, my God.
A white
one
tube
with a flag?
That's 20 inches in diameter. And, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Is there anything you can do about things like that?
Well, I'll pass this around, and I'd like to just have a brief discussion about it. This isn't on the agenda, so we can't get into details. It got to me just after the meeting agenda was posted. There was one that was addressed to Peter as well. So I scanned it, sent it to Peter, and I said, you know, hey, you know, wanted you to be aware. This may, what they're specifically giving notice about is it's a section 106 notice on what are comments on historic resources that may be impacted through this project. And so that's the focus of the comments they're seeking now. This is also the first the town has seen of this project. They haven't come in front of the planning board. They haven't submitted any formal application to the town. So that will be, there's another process that needs to occur. They will need to be going. It's not an allowed use.
And Route 1 is now a national or state scenic road, right?
It's not. That application is still in process. It's okay, still pending. Yeah. But
this is at the end of Ministerial Road, isn't it?
No, at the end of Moonstone.
Oh. Here's where Moonstone comes back up.
All right, Ministerial.
It's the Baptist Church right off of Route 1.
And Perryville is up in. Oh, okay. This is Perryville.
So. I don't want to get into the details of, you know, what our comments may or may not be. This is more just a preview of what's coming. And here, if you want to take a look, I'm going to pass some of these down.
You know, if it were a certified local roadway or historic, whatever it's called, I don't even remember the terminology.
It's a scenic roadway.
Scenic roadway.
Yeah.
Obviously, the viewscape's going to be seriously affected by this, and it's adjacent to lots of land trust land, and, you know, it's very, that whole stretch of Route 1 is very, very bucolic.
Yeah, if we did have a scenic roadway designation, that might give us one more tool in the toolbox, but that's not necessarily a regulatory tool.
These are the problems we're running into repeatedly, things that we'd love to have are not in place, so we really may not have much to say about it.
The real issue is that no one wants cell phone towers from a community development perspective, right. But... and there is a process they have to go through, but there are federal laws, federal regulations that ensure that these are still buildable. That, you know, despite what processes the town may have to say, that we can't disallow cell phone towers to be built in the town.
Is this a Sprint tower?
No, it would be a Verizon wireless tower.
I have perfect reception down there. Why do they need another...
I mean, that. So here's the process that will unfold. Is the first step is that they're asking us specifically for historic comments. And so what I'd like to do is we're going to have another meeting within probably 2 or 3 weeks to look at CLG stuff. And in the same meeting, I'd like to bring this in front of you as a posted agenda item. And we can discuss the specifics of historic resources that may be impacted. There is a Perryville district.
Yeah.
There are a few National Register properties within the view, but I mean, this property itself is not. We don't really know the extent that we can really comment on something that is viewable from a historic district or a historic property that may be a quarter of a mile away. We don't know if that's, you know, what is, but I th- this is something
there must
that
be some. Yeah. Somewhere.
Oh, there is. There's some. Yeah.
So we'll look into that. But I think as a first, I mean, we just received this, and I dug into it a little bit in terms of, you know, what the historic resources are, and then what's the process they need to go through. It's not allowed by right. They would need to go to the Zoning Board of Review and ask for a use variance because this use is not allowed.
Right.
And there is case law that supports, you know, that, you know, the process. You know, we can't basically completely shut the door, but there are ways in which we can still comment on and review the information.
And there can be mitigation.
Yes, there are mitigations. They're suggesting that they make it look like a flagpole.
Yeah.
To be stealth in that way and
paint it invisible.
Yeah, right.
100
So I don't think that this is going to be well loved by our local other review bodies. This would need to go through development plan review through the planning board, which then makes a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Review, who then determines its viability as a use variance.
Right.
But that's down the road, and that's a separate process than what they're asking for now. This
which
is comments.
Section
106 comments specific to historic resources.
Right.
So
this is about, because I did 106 review for the state of New York. It's about whether or not the project will have an adverse effect upon buildings that are listed in the National Register, but also buildings that are eligible for listing in the National Register. So the eligibility part of it is interesting because it doesn't necessarily have to be listed. It's whether or not it's eligible or listed.
What sort of a distance away are you talking about,
though? Well, there's case example with Olana, which is Frederick Church's house in the Upper Hudson, which is up on a hill.
Yeah.
And the siting of a power plant down below it, which was, I don't know, could have been 20 miles away from it, but within the view shed. And that was defeated because of the impact, the visual impact.
Yeah. So the existing National Register resources that are nearby, and again, you know, this it's probably not great that we get into the details of, you know, what our comments may look like because this wasn't posted for this meeting. This is really just an informal heads up of what's coming.
Right.
But just so you're aware, the Sibley Smith House, which is off of Post Road, a one-story flat-roofed structure.
Sibley Smith.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then the... Here, I'll show you this map. So you're all somewhat familiar with this ancient book. I'll pass this around. So the... This is Moonstone Beach Road, and this is not to scale. This is, but the tower would be just north of Moonstone Beach Road. So you've got, this is the Sibley Smith. That's the Perryville District. These structures are kind of down a hill. These probably wouldn't be as visually impacted as the stuff up here.
Right.
So
102 is
Sibley Smith, as in Mrs. Smith's son designed it. Not the publisher of the journal.
Right? No. Sibley Smith, there's several. There were three Sibley Smiths,
right.
And they were all interested in design.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a mid-century modern Sibley Smith. There also are possibly buildings up above in the Matunuck Hills, in which this is in the view shed, because those houses look down over this plain.
Perhaps.
And through here.
And Credit and Ellen Elmstrom's house on the south side of Route 1 on Moonstone Beach Road. Yeah.
And then there's
the Gristmill.
The Gristmill, the Samuel Perry Gristmill, which is owned by the Land Trust, which is down here. And then you have the concentration of buildings that are around the Whedon Farm. The Hale House is the highest of those. But there's also the Whedon Farm itself. See, 100 feet is pretty far up in the air, and it's relatively flat all the way down the coastal plain. So there's also the Widmer's house, which is on Matunuck Schoolhouse Road. So one would have to, you could ask, which is really interesting, in a 106 review, you could ask them for the information, the topographic information that shows the elevation of the tower as opposed to where the elevation of these other buildings. So you can sort of get a sense without trying to go there and looking around.
Yeah.
A more of a visual analysis.
I certainly don't feel like we've got, based on what they sent, great information. We don't have a to scale plan. They asked us to comment within 30 days. We got this just at the very end of the month. The letter was dated February 29th.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got, they're saying we have until the end of March. I think that if we ask them, we're going to have a meeting by then, but we may want additional time.
You could ask for additional information.
Yeah. So we can ask, I believe we can. I mean, we can say that we need to understand, how this would be viewed from properties. And so we can, I mean, we have our own process that we'll need to... This is the first we're seeing it at the planning department, so we're going to contact our solicitor and in some ways prepare for the eventual anticipated development plan review and zoning board review. But for right now, our purview is historic.
Right.
But we'll research into, maybe what are some ways that municipalities can limit and regulate these.
Mm-hmm.
There is on a previous project, our solicitor wrote us a memorandum basically outlining the Telecommunications Act, which does not allow municipalities to prohibit these and limits our abilities to regulate these. So,
do they have to prove that they need one?
They do. They do have to prove that there is a gap and that it is needed. So I don't know how they do that, but
I have my phone.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that, but they have to prove that. And so that's one thing. But our role is not to say you need to prove it to us. Our role is just to provide the comments on the historic. You know, we can say that, you know, we
That's for another board.
Yeah,
another,
I think we can say that, you know, in general, we would find this to negatively impact scenic resources, and we feel as though it should be documented that it is needed. Mm. But then I think we need to be more specific about the historic resources that would be impacted and think about any mitigation factors that would be helpful to that.
Right. It's right on the edge of Carpenter Farm. So land trust property.
Yeah. And you know, you look at it as like, is a flagpole appropriate for the area? Is it not? Are there other.
An untapered 100-foot flagpole, which really doesn't look like a flagpole, thank you.
I love the way that they refer to it as a 102-foot stealth structure.
Yes.
It's on the property of the Baptist Church, though, right? Is that correct?
It is on the property of the Baptist Church.
These become lease opportunities. Oh, sure. Now there are some case examples of, because that has a spire. Is that a new building?
Yes.
The Baptist Church?
Yeah.
It's not historic.
Not historic.
No.
What I'm saying is that there are some cases where there's a need for a cell tower in a vicinity. And there's been a spire nearby, and they've been able and it's been a win-win.
Yeah.
And we did this up in Warwick, actually, with a water tower. It was a real win-win, where they were able to put the devices on the existing tall structure.
Yeah, and they make money because they're leasing the space.
Yeah, and in the case of an historic building that's in the vicinity, you can actually make money. Because to keep the thing alive, it's fabulous. You can keep the thing alive with money.
Maybe the Baptist Church would like a really nice.
Well, that Baptist Church
nice big tall spire.
Put a tower on the new Baptist Church and put this thing inside it.
Yeah.
So I think what
excellent.
Yeah, right. So I think what you'll see, you know, these are good ideas to talk about in concept. I think what you'll see from me as a next step is a memo. To cover this correspondence formally, and then we can talk about it more formally. And then, you know, we just have to make sure our review is particularly limited to historic resources. Upon my first glance at this, I have to say I didn't think, you know, it's not like we're right abutting any historic resources. So it might be a bit of a reach.
Well, Carpenter Farm is an historic resource.
That's Carpenter Farm is, but that's a
not
ways.
Not structurally, though. No, it isn't. It's right there. Practically, that whole corner is...
Oh, but it's not... I'm sorry, I was thinking of a different... But it's not National Register.
No, but that's true, but it's land trust property, and it's adjacent to the cemetery, which is an historic property, and the trout hatchery, which is an interesting, although not historic, property. Right.
You have to be sure about it's the eligible. So that means that... They should be actually looking at all this property to see what's eligible. Eligible for National Register doesn't even have to be in this book, although it can be. But a survey of historic resources in this area, if it comes up with something that is now National Register eligible, then they have to accommodate. They have to be able to say no adverse or no impact upon... Or what is the impact upon?
Is the grist mill on the National Register?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's probably just out of sight. It's one of those properties that's south.
Yeah.
And
but you're kind of going down.
You're going down the hill.
And there is a wood.
Yeah. So we thought I looked at that. It's the grist mill, and then there's another property that's south of Route 1, the Watson House. I don't know if that rings a bell for anyone else. It's these two. When you look at this of the existing National Register, Watson and Gristmill are 58 and 59.
There's the Watson House is right next to the Gristmill.
That's Curt and Ellen's that I mentioned earlier. Curt and Ellen Elmstrom's. I didn't know there was a Watson involved there. That's an early house.
Yeah, so 102 is the Sibley, and then this is the district. So,
yeah.
I mean, what we will do is... I won't send a formal response until you guys have had a chance to look at it. If we don't get the chance to schedule until past March, I'll send them notice that we require more time than their 30 days.
Yeah.
And our comments could be simply that we want to require them to provide us more detailed information.
There's a cell tower similar to this. Is it similar to it up at Ed Timpson's gravel bank?
Is that what that is?
Across from Rose Hill Road. I mean... On Rose Hill Road, right across from the transfer station. And I think he gets something like $2,400 a month land rent. So the church is probably...
It's a church.
Probably absolutely happy about it, yeah. So and I know it's been a great boon to the Wakefield Baptist to have them up in that tower. Because
yeah.
They're getting this monthly, it really helps
right.
maintaining your building, as you mentioned.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of putting it in a, even if it was a prefabricated...
modern tower.
The ones that come in on a truck and they put them up with a crane, why not do that? It's only 100 feet further north. It will still cover the same area.
Hmm.
And I doubt that, I don't know, maybe it would cost them more money, but maybe not, too.
Hmm.
So.
Oh, you mean a prefab tower to put on the church?
Prefab steeple, yeah.
A steeple, a campanile.
Yes, well, with no bells, however.
No bells.
Yeah. So we could make a suggestion like that anyway, even if it's, since we're just consulting, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We can have ideas.
Yep.
Well, I think you should still ask for more information. They haven't provided anything, really.
No, I mean, their letter basically asked us to comment on the impact of historic resources, but, you know, our information and access to what may be considered historic in there is limited and difficult to determine in detail within 30 days. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if Rich's point is that, you know, we might want to ask them is that we require to understand what eligible properties are in that, that would probably be a work effort.
Yeah.
And that is something I'm curious to understand how, you know, how that
how
goes
does it
back.
Work?
Yeah. You know, is that something that we can ask them to facilitate information on that? Can we ask them to do an informal survey process to determine if there are eligible properties within a certain view?
Well, you can, the Preservation Commission can also do that. And so this 106, if it's a 106 process, it's going through the Preservation Commission at the same time.
Yep.
Because they do 106. And we could be in touch with the Preservation Commission on our concerns and do a, you know, sort of coordinate the effort through them. They, that would be very interesting to actually get involved in, to see what level of detail, what our concern, we would communicate our concerns probably to both parties. I would imagine you'd sort of have to be fair about it, but coordinate with the Preservation Commission on our concerns, have them evaluate what is potentially eligible. There hasn't been a recent survey down there, so they may ask the cell tower people to conduct a survey with a qualified historic preservation consultant.
Yep. So,
that's been known to happen for the 106. 106 review interjects with the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation and the impact on National Register eligible properties and minimizing the impact. So, it is kind of advisory. But then again, your local law doesn't prevent cell towers from being located in town. It's just where they are to be located.
Well, our local law says it's not allowed. Federal law says that we can't prohibit it in town.
In town.
And they have to demonstrate there's a need
yeah.
in this area.
Yeah.
And then they can go through a use variance process, which is not common, but when you get into use variances, it becomes, you know, what is the case law support? Could this be turned down by the zoning board, and would we expect that we're going to court? Would we're not going to court? Sometimes they approach it more as, you know, is this something that we can reasonably deny or condition without putting the town in a position where we are, we know that we've done something that crosses over federal law. Mm-hmm. So they'll balance that act, but I know that this is generally something that nobody wants in their backyard, but you know, we all use cell phones more frequently and more data needs.
The thought just occurs to me that there may be other opportunities for a location site that is not as visibly apparent. In other words, Caroline's, your recommendation is great for concealing it
yeah.
and making it go away, but there also may be an alternative on another site where it would be less conspicuous. Because that site... it's conspicuous because it's right in the open.
And it's right on Route 1.
And it's right on Route 1. So even 200 feet or 400 feet in from Route 1 in a wooded zone might be less, in a different, also a different design, might be less conspicuous.
Yeah.
And there may be opportunities for those properties.
Those giant pine trees that they do.
What is interesting to me, Doug, is, and you may want to look this up, I was at a planning board meeting not too long ago. It was within the last 6 months. And they were reviewing this a cell tower location where a cell tower company was presenting to them.
Surely, yeah.
And I was paying attention because I was thinking about the scenic roads. And there were questions, I think, asked. He had several locations that he was pointing to as possibilities. And they asked about, you know, whether there were any on Route 1. And he said, no, they would be staying away from Route 1.
Interesting.
It's very interesting.
So what's their process for making their determination of where they should locate, and how do they have their own reduction of
impact? They wanted to avoid locations that were highly problematic.
Visible. Problematic from a service standpoint or problematic from an aesthetic standpoint?
From a community point of view.
Well, that's good.
That offered service. They wanted ones that offered service that were not problem sites for the community. And he had several that were tucked way back. There was one, I think, that was in the vicinity of, it was back off of Tuckertown Road. It wasn't near Route 1. It was back in.
Yeah.
And it was in a more of a funny terrain, wooded area, and not quite so.
Yeah, and we'll have to make sure that our review is, you know, we can't get into general aesthetics because, you know, it's really about impacts to historic resources. So we'll have to identify what they may be and then maybe ask for more information.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, the historic resources is definitely a good handle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, to be continued.
Sure. Yeah, and
on the agenda next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I don't want to wrap up early, but I have a meeting at 6:30 in the Guild.
Yeah, well, I think we're there. Yeah,
we're done.
Is there any correspondence besides that?
Nothing except for this. If you get these,
yeah. Okay. I'm doing a walking tour, so please come.
I saw you were in there.
Yeah, I'm of flood stuff in Wickford. Potential flooded.
Carolyn, you should be getting that now that you're in the HDC. If not, maybe somebody should alert them to get you on the... you get it, right?
You can keep that copy if you'd like.
You get that? Yeah. So I think it's just a matter of being on any HDC, and you'll end up getting it eventually.
Okay. Yeah. Next 2 or 3 years.
Jim and I were discussing something that happens frequently, which is when someone leaves the board, we often send them some sort of a certificate suitable for framing or something of that sort. And we haven't really thought about that for Rosalind, who certainly put in yeoman service for probably 20 or 25 years, I think. I mean, she was on...
Not that long.
No. Was she on when you got on? And no. Well, I've been on for 16 or 17 years, and I think she was on the whole time I was.
Was she on with Kayla?
Couldn't a letter of appreciation or something?
We did send a letter, but I mean, you guys may have something additional in mind.
Well, maybe that's what we're thinking about.
We sent her a letter. That's not a normal town practice, but from the clerk's perspective, but from the planning department perspective, we sent her a letter thanking her for her years of service, her thoughtful approach to, her deliberation and her decisions, and very simple, but just wanted to give her some acknowledgement. So we sent that on behalf of the planning department.
Well, that may do it.
That may be what we're thinking about, I think. That's probably, yeah.
I mean, you get people that have been on the boards for so long, and you want to... I know you guys make a lot of money doing this stuff, so, aside from all the financial rewards, volunteering on a town committee, you want people to know that their time was valued.
Yes, that's why we thought of this, yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. We were just discussing whether this is something the staff should do or I should do as chairman. So thank you very much for clarifying that.
Well, maybe you should have signed it also or something, but...
Sorry, Peter's a little late for that.
In the future.
Keep that in mind.
But, I think
We did put a note that P.S. Peter did not want to send this. He was not that enthused.
No.
Peter's sending you flowers separately. Yeah.
I mean, I think at this point people don't necessarily want
no
things they can hang
involved,
on the wall, but I think a nice letter is often.
That's what we discussed, too. We said, I've been involved in lots of volunteer organizations, and once in a while I'll get a certificate suitable for framing. And it's like, thanks. But I do appreciate, and everyone
letter.
Has the same idea, I think. If you do spend all this time, it's nice to get something.
It's nice to get something
you.
That
But what it is doesn't really matter, right? Yeah. It's not that important. So, unless it's a giant
check. As long
check.
As it's not a form letter.
Yeah. A form letter. Yeah.
But an acknowledgement.
We look forward to working with the City of Providence.
Yeah. But it depends on how good of a Board or Commission member you were. So, let's keep that in mind. You know, we have some people that are like, oh, we'll see you.
Well, I was on
we'll
for
see you later.
And I didn't hear anything.
Rich, do you. Before we go, do you know Catherine Long in Kingston? Yes, you do. She lives on Biscuit City Road. She works for Newport.
Yes, yes.
I met her at Belmont last week and tried to talk up her applying for this board.
Yeah.
And she sounded interested.
Oh,
so,
did she?
Yeah, so if you know her, if you a phone call from you might push her into... Because she seemed quite enthused.
Push her over the edge.
And
that
she sounds she sounds educated in the field and might be a good person to have.
She's the one of the development people for grants writer for the Preservation Society of Newport.
Oh.
Newport Preservation Society.
Yeah. She sounded like she had some awareness of historic structures and
historic knowledge. Well, she can come up to she isn't, she can come up to speed really. I think she is actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speed really quick.
So a quick phone call from you might be helpful if you know her well enough.
Yeah.
I told her I'd be following up with her somehow. So, because we, with two openings, we really need to get someone else fairly, fairly quickly, because one of us is likely to not be here at every meeting, as is happening tonight.
Well,
that would be great.
We currently have 5, which makes our quorum 3.
Mm-hmm.
If we have 6, our quorum is 4.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, we can't miss more than 2 members.
Right,
But if we add a member, we're still on the same boat. We still can't miss 2 members. If we add 7, then our quorum remains 4, and we can miss 3. 7 is the great number.
Yeah,
but I mean, we are a pretty consistent group compared to some, where people might not say anything and then they don't show. Most of this group, you're aware that we're a tight, small group. If you can't make it, it's important to let us know, so
because
that could affect things. Because when we have someone like Karen who says she can't make it, we get close to if someone slips their mind or just didn't have an opportunity to say they can't make it, then we get close to not having a quorum, which we don't want to waste anyone else's time.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think we should. We'll give them a call.
But I think it's just good to get another person's point of view and input. I think so. I guess that's it then. Move to adjourn.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
How did they miss the Stanton time?